Ann White has been found guilty of one count each of voluntary manslaughter in the shooting deaths of Mayor George Moscone and Supervisor Harvey Milk.
The people who had been protecting City Hall are now getting dragged away by police.
The police bashed through every one of these windows, billy clubbing everybody through that small little back door saying, get out, go home, queers.
I have a lot of feelings about Harvey Milk's assassination and the subsequent protests. I refuse to call them riots.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBTQ radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. 10 cops face murder charges in the death of an Argentinian trans woman. The Voice crowns its first queer winner. And marking the 45th anniversary of San Francisco's Stonewall. Those stories and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Kaylin Herdman.
And I'm Marcos Najera.
With News Wrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending May 25th, 2024. The death of transgender Argentinian Sofia Fernandez in police custody, originally called a suicide, is now a case of murder by asphyxiation. An autopsy revealed signs of torture, and her own thong and a piece of mattress had been jammed down her throat. 10 officers are under arrest. Fernandez was a 39-year-old former linguistics professor who was studying to be a nurse. She was detained when a neighbor accused her of robbery and assault and found dead in a cell on April 11, 2023. The investigation went nowhere for more than a year until prosecutor Gonzalo Aguero was removed for his lack of progress. The Fernandez family charged that he was refusing to cooperate with them in the case. 5 police officers, including a second lieutenant and 2 sergeants, were arrested on May 1st, charged with anti-trans hate-based murder, according to local reports. 5 more are accused of helping them cover it up. The revived investigation is still in its early stages. It will probably be sometime next year before the accused cops go on trial.
The United States Supreme Court took a pass on the case of religious parents who object to their Maryland school district's support for trans and gender nonconforming students. Montgomery County Public Schools' stated policy is to ensure a safe and respectful school environment where staff are not authorized to involuntarily out a student to their parents or legal guardians. A judge on the 4th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals dismissed the parents' lawsuit last August because none of their children were trans or gender nonconforming. The High Court's May 20th refusal to hear the challenge came without explanation. Montgomery County Schools' queer positive standards may soon face another round in the Supreme Court. Earlier this month, a coterie of Christian, Jewish, and Muslim parents saw their bid to keep their children out of classes with LGBTQ-related content rejected by the same 4th Circuit Court of Appeals. Those plaintiffs also vowed to continue up the federal appeal ladder.
The Republican Party of Colorado is urging parents to take their children out of public school because Democrats are attempting to turn more kids trans. Yes, that's what Colorado Republican Director of Special Initiatives Darcy Shaning really charges in her emailed action alert to party members this week. Shaning laments a bill that supports students' rights to be addressed by their chosen names and pronouns. It was passed by the legislature's Democratic majority and signed by out-Democratic Governor Jared Polis. The email says that such pronouns do not make any sense and cause gender confusion. 2 of the bill's sponsors, in Shaning's words, do not know their own genders and do not have children. She's derisively referring to out-Representative Stephanie Vigil and the state's first transgender lawmaker, Brianna Titone. Shaning raved on. If your child decides he identifies as a girl because he is angry with you, or all of his friends are doing it, the Colorado government will actively encourage his new fetish by allowing him to identify as she or they, or whatever nonsensical terms your son's teachers and peers may dream up, all without notifying you of your child's disturbing behavior, which should be treated rather than encouraged. Before her position with the Colorado Republican Party, Shaning led the El Paso County chapter of Moms for Liberty, which the Southern Poverty Law Center calls a far-right anti-queer extremist group. She's also been a proponent of the myth that Colorado schools are teeming with furries, children who identify as animals.
It will soon be illegal to say gay in Louisiana schools. The Republican-dominated state legislature passed a measure to prohibit virtually any classroom discussion of sexual orientation or gender identity. The ban covers elementary through high school, and it extends to sports and extracurricular activities. That means it could even spell the end of campus groups like gay-straight alliances. Republican Governor Jeff Landry is expected to sign the bill into law. Democratic Governor John Bel Edwards vetoed a similar proposal that sailed through the state legislature last year. There were insufficient votes to override him. Representative Dodie Horton was one of the bill's sponsors. She argued, "Having sexualized personal discussions between educators and students in our classrooms are not appropriate, and they can rob our children of their innocence while imposing suggested influence over their developing young minds." A statement by the Human Rights Campaign said in response, "There is absolutely nothing inappropriate about being LGBTQ+, or in acknowledging LGBTQ+ issues and people."
Banning books based on ideological content in Minnesota libraries is now against the law. Democratic Governor Tim Walz signed a bill last week that prevents library personnel from refusing or removing any book based solely on the viewpoints, contents, message, idea, or opinion conveyed. Books with supportive LGBTQ+ content have been the favorite target of book banners across the U.S. This measure requires library content to be curated by a licensed library media specialist, an individual with a master's degree in library sciences or library and information sciences, or a professional librarian or person with extensive library collection management experience. After he signed the bill, Walz tweeted, "Censorship has no place in our libraries. As a former teacher, I'm clear. We need to remember our history, not erase it."
Finally, after 25 seasons, NBC's popular singing competition, The Voice, has its first out queer winner. Asher Havon's victory was celebrated by ally and coach Reba McEntire, who said, "Look how Asher is dressed. Every time you got on stage, you looked regal. I am so proud of you." It was also McEntire's first win since she joined the show last season. Havon responded, "My heart was filled with so much gratitude. And to look at Reba and to see her excitement, it was everything." He gushed on Instagram, "Thank you to Mama Reba. You have changed my life and created a milestone in my life that I will have forever. I am your son for life."
You have made history on this show as the first LGBTQ+ community member. How does that make you feel?
Havon told Entertainment Tonight,
"I am so proud to be a part of that community. And I just pray that everything I've done on this show have inspired them all, that they can do the same thing. So thank y'all so much."
That's News Wrap. Global queer news with attitude for the week ending in May 25th, 2024. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Greg Gordon, edited by Lucia Chappelle, produced by Brian DeShazer, and brought to you by you.
Thank you. Help keep us in ears around the world at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast and much more. For This Way Out, I'm Kaylin Herdman. Stay healthy.
And I'm Marcos Najera. Stay safe.
Our listeners support This Way Out in many ways.
By subscribing to our e-newsletter.
Email us at info@thiswayout.org.
And through your financial contributions to our program.
More information about how you can give is online
at thiswayout.org.
Thank you.
Five years ago, on May 21st and 22nd, 1979, San Francisco erupted in violence, ignited by political assassinations and the failure of the justice system to provide fair punishment. Openly gay city and county supervisor Harvey Milk and Mayor George Moscone were murdered by a disgruntled former supervisor in November 1978. Dan White had been a firefighter and a cop, and he had represented the city's dwindling socially conservative minority. Harvey Milk was the first openly gay elected official in California and only the second out candidate to win political office in the United States. When the verdict in the killer's case was announced, it was too much for the community to bear.
Dan White has been found guilty of one count each of voluntary manslaughter in the shooting deaths of Mayor George Moscone and Supervisor Harvey Milk last November 27th. The jury, which had deliberated for 36 hours following the end of the trial last Wednesday, chose the least serious crime of the options given to them by Superior Court Judge Walter F. Calcagno. Voluntary manslaughter carries a penalty of from 2 to 4 years. For National Public Radio, this is Gene Parrish in San Francisco.
White shot Moscone, a 49-year-old father of four times the body and head. According to prosecution testimony, White reloaded his gun and then sought out and shot openly gay supervisor Harvey Milk 5 times. Under the concept of diminished capacity, the defense told the 7-woman, 5-man jury that White acted out of frustration and rage. Defense testimony, including that of 4 psychiatrists, portrayed White as being so upset by personal problems that he did not have the capacity for malice, premeditation, and deliberation, the elements required for a first-degree murder conviction sought by the prosecution. Jury foreman George Mincer told the San Francisco Examiner that the jury reached a verdict on the Moscone shooting on May 18th, but that the decision on the death of Milk did not come until 3 days later. Mincer said the panel never seriously considered convicting White of first-degree murder because the jury could find no evidence indicating premeditation. For Pacifica Radio, this is Mike Hodell.
Pacifica correspondent Emily Clark covered the trial from the beginning.
They asked to hear one psychiatrist who was saying that Dan White acted like he was in a dream. He didn't know what he was doing. And so that sort of gave a hint that they were going to go for voluntary on one of the charges at least, but I don't think anyone there thought they were going to go for voluntary on both of them. I'm just very emotional about it. I feel that, of course, we have to think about the living and the people that are still alive, and yet it seems like this verdict shows that no one was thinking too much about the people who died.
Tell you what the gay movement's about.
Harvey Milk.
After I got elected, I got the phone call I knew I'd eventually get. Got caught a few of them. One was from a 17-year-old child in a small town in Minnesota. And the boy is handicapped. And the boy's parents found out that he's gay. And they want to put him in an insane asylum. And that boy needs help. And the gay movement is about the letter I got from Southwest Africa when he read about a gay person getting elected here. And that person has hope. And that 17-year-old kid in Minnesota has hope.
Too bad for the gay revolution. This is as far as you get. And if you think you're free, well, listen to me. You ain't seen nothing yet. All gonna feel a backlash. Puritanical power. Kicking us down when we're on the ground. Gonna be the finest hour.
Not since the late 1960s has the United States seen such a violent expression of its people's anger and frustration as was seen Monday night in San Francisco.
From the Fresh Fruit Collective on KPFA in Berkeley.
But on Monday night in San Francisco, the focus was different than that of the 60s. It was gay people, openly gay people, lashing out their frustrations at a society who, by its very structure, stands as an oppressor to gay people.
The crowd has assembled. Candles are being lit. Posters are held on high. the steps of City Hall, the street in front of it, back to the reflecting fountain. It's filled well over 5,000 people, I would estimate, at this moment. Police have arrived at City Hall. They've got riot squad gear on. It has now broken loose. Cops are now bashing heads. Of indeed, the people who had formed a human chain to protect City Hall are now getting bashed by police. The people who had been protecting City Hall are now getting dragged away by police. The police are now moving out into the crowd. Moving out into the crowd and just flailing about.
Running back. The police have literally beaten the crowd.
The police moved into a group of people who were sitting down and not moving and just clubbed away. And they realized that obviously our nonviolent not moving was not going to work. Gay people proceeded to run. And now pretty much there's a 15-foot distance between us and the line of police who are coming down. You can hear their voices. And here they are.
I think it's important for everyone in this city to know that we're not going to continue to tolerate this.
San Francisco Mayor Dianne Feinstein held a late-night press conference to condemn the violence.
The police exercise some considerable restraint. There will be a major police presence throughout San Francisco. Every off-duty officer is being called back to report to their post.
KPFA reporters on the scene said that the police did not show restraint once they started clearing the City Hall area. Many demonstrators and some reporters were clubbed by police. City Hall sustained major damage, and police from neighboring counties were called in. San Francisco Supervisor Carol Ruth Silver and about 150 other people, police, demonstrators, and reporters, were injured, either by rocks and bottles or by police brandishing billy clubs. With the KPFA News staff, I'm Eileen Alfandale for Pacifica.
They had cops up here from Hillsborough, from all down the southern peninsula, you know. These police don't have to deal with this kind of action too often, so consequently, when they're confronted with gay people, they react from a gut level. You see, much more so than San Francisco police, who have to deal with faggots all the time, you see. This guy was saying that this was an anti-faggot decision. I think it's just the way the American system of justice fucks up all the time. You know, you try to run innocent people into the ground and guilty people get off scot-free.
Later that evening, the police entered the Castro in large numbers, causing the people to come out of the bars screaming, "Get out of our neighborhood."
I was just down here at 1 o'clock having a drink, and I decided to go home and I go out and I noticed there are half a dozen cops standing in the middle of the intersection out there, and all of a sudden there are, you know, more cops everywhere, and they start lining the streets. A few people started throwing bottles at them. And then they just go crazy. They chase people back into the bar where we thought we were safe. And then they just come storming through here. You know, it's like Nazi stormtroopers.
We were all sitting at the same table, relaxed, having a cocktail. I just sorted around. The police bashed through every one of these windows, billy clubbing everybody through that small little back door in the rear, saying, "Get out, go home, queers." They were billy clubbing people all the way out to the back door, and there was no way all these people could get through that tiny back door. They came in, tipping tables over, crushing people on the floors, billy clubbing, trampling over people, saying, "Get the hell out, get out, go home, faggot." When they finally got us out the back door, they got into formation and marched, saying, "Go home, faggots, go home, faggots."
After that, they kept marching up and down the street, occasionally taking to the sidewalks, you know, with their billy clubs, just clubbing anybody who happened to be around. We were standing in our doorway here at just past 19th and Castro, and as this line of police officers went by, they charged up all the way up our stairs and in right to our front door, forcing us into the house with a weapon.
They had guns?
Yes, they had guns. Not all of them. You know, the majority of them had sticks, but there were officers with drawn rifles.
The following day, Tuesday, May 22nd.
KNX News Radio correspondent David Hosley says today has special meaning.
A party has been scheduled for some time in remembrance of what would have been Harvey Milk's 49th birthday today. The event on Castro Street had been billed as a non-political good time to begin about 8:30. San Francisco Supervisor Harry Britt, the gay leader who replaced Milk on the board, said he would not apologize for the violence of last night and this morning, but that he hoped the birthday celebration would be a positive one. Some police apparently think otherwise, as patrol cars filled with reinforcements left City Hall in the early morning. Members of a guard force left behind shouted, "See you tonight, and bring some big ones back with you."
Tuesday night, the tone was remarkably different on Castro Street. The long-planned celebration to commemorate Harvey Milk's birthday came off as planned, without violence.
Introducing Harry Britt.
Tonight, 15,000 people have gathered to demonstrate with their love that the spirit of Harvey Milk will always be alive in our city. And I sure as hell don't have to tell you that Harvey Milk's people do not have a damn thing to apologize to anybody for ever. Let no one believe that the step that we have taken is a step from nonviolence to violence. We have suffered too much at the hands of violent people ever to go down that road. But let us say that never again will our people ever stand by and let Dan White's people rule the day. Let us say with our new strength that we are tired of dealing with pigs and that from now on, the people who would follow the spirit of Dan White are going to have to deal with us.
I'd like now for you to welcome Meg Christian and Holly Meir.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
I don't think it's wrong for us to feel like we do.
Happy birthday, dear Harvey.
I think we should feel like it more often.
Happy birthday to you.
The time has come from all over this country to people to say, no more dreaming. The time has come to awake.
Much of the material for this program was provided by Andy Seal, Richard Thomas, and Kent Newby of the Fruit Punch Collective, and Don Foster and Polly Dart of KPFA's Public Affairs Department. Live coverage of the rioting came from Fred Brungard and Michael Rutz of Fruit Punch, and Steve O'Neill and Ravenshead Communications. Music by the Tom Robinson Band, engineering by Helene Rosenbluth.
Dan White served 5 years of his 7-year sentence before returning home to an unforgiving city. He committed suicide not long thereafter. White's attorney argued what came to be known as the Twinkie defense, claiming that his client's consumption of junk foods, like Twinkies, clouded his ability to tell right from wrong. A few months after the verdict, the California State Legislature did away with that so-called diminished capacity defense. Serving as mayor of San Francisco for 10 years, after being thrust into the office by George Moscone's death in 1978, Dianne Feinstein went on to represent California in the United States Senate from 1992 until her death last year. Dr. Tanya D. Zook is a lecturer in the Department of Media Arts at the University of North Texas. She specializes in queer indie media and its audiences utilizing a cultural studies approach. With a reverent nod to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Dr. Zook offers these reflections on Harvey Milk and the White Knight Uprising.
We commemorate MLK Jr. at a national level.
But I would imagine most Americans don't even know who Harvey Milk was, or what he meant to the LGBTQ+ community. Both were assassinated for political reasons, both represented marginalized and oppressed communities, and both deaths instigated violent reactions from their constituents. In many ways, neither received the justice they deserved. But in the case of Harvey Milk, his murderer was nearly pardoned, serving only 5 years for killing 2 people. His life and death are not part of our public education history. It is only within his community that his importance is really felt and known. I have a lot of feelings about Harvey Milk's assassination and the subsequent protests. I refuse to call them riots. The night of Dan White's verdict is one that is marked by violence on a variety of levels. For the gay community, it marked very publicly something that was already known. We were not protected by our government or by our legal system. This was systemic and emotional violence. Our response to take to the streets in protest, even violent protest, is just. The violence and illegal response by police, while not new, was certainly brazen and publicly documented. I do believe that Harvey Milk, who, like MLK, believed in peaceful protest and changing the system, would despair at the violence. However, I also believe that White Knight fundamentally changed the way in which government entities dealt with the LGBTQ+ community. I would love to be able to say that protest was no longer needed in this country, but I sadly cannot. Last year alone, there were over 35 trans people murdered in this country, nearly half of which occurred in the South, where I currently live in Texas. Legally, we are still under attack. In Texas alone, there were over 30 anti-trans laws proposed last year. Thankfully, none of them were ratified. Though I would love to see Harvey Milk's story told and recognized on a national level like MLK, I honestly believe that the best way to memorialize Milk is to continue to fight for LGBTQ+ rights and protections, advocate, collaborate, protest, take to the streets. I'm Dr. Tanya D. Zook for This Way Out.
Thanks for discovering This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. NewsWrap was recorded this week by Kaylin Hardman and Marcos Nahara and produced by Brian DeShazer. Our archival correspondents included Jean Parrish, Mike Cordell, Emily Clark, Eileen Alfandari, and David Hosley. Thanks also to Dr. Tanya D. Zook. You heard music by The Rascals, Scott McKenzie, The Tom Robinson Band, and Triumph. Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks Brad Furr of K Gay Palm Springs, California, and Richard Merck and Brad Payton of Silicon Valley. Listener donors make this program possible. Ask us about how you can join them. Look for This Way Out Radio on social media, email us at info@thiswayout.org, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For Associate Producer Lisa Chappell and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org or wherever you get your podcasts, and on Gay SA Radio, Pretoria, South Africa, WLRI, Christiana, Pennsylvania, KMUD, Arcata, Eureka, Garberville, Laytonville, Shelter Cove, California, and a wide array of community terrestrial and internet radio stations around the world, including this one. Stay healthy, stay safe, and stay tuned.